Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. With me today is Mary Hood. She has been involved with the homeschooling movement since the early 1980s. In other words, one of the first pioneers on one of those covered wagons as we moved across the United States. Hey, Mary, thanks for joining us on Generations today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, you've been in this for a long time, so I want you to give us a little history. You homeschooled your own children back in the 1980s and 1990s.
I did, and I really just now kind of moved beyond that. My youngest son, in fact, tomorrow is turning 21. So,
okay.
I did it from the very beginning, and we did it all the way through their high school education with two brief lapses, if you will. One, my oldest son went to public school for about 3 months in the seventh grade. That was just a unit study in public school. I knew he'd be back.
Yeah.
And then the middle son went to private Christian school for about the same amount of time in eighth grade, and that was over baseball. And I fully expected him to stay there and be in that school and play baseball, but I warned the principal kind of jokingly that he better make him headmaster or he'd be right back home. And that's basically what happened when he discovered he wasn't in charge of his own education anymore. He didn't last long either in that setting. So my kids all enjoyed it, I think, and we homeschool all the way through.
Yeah. Mary, here's the question on my mind. I know you had a PhD in education, so you were really, I think, educated in education. But how did you wind up in homeschooling? I mean, it seems to be kind of a big leap, you know?
Well, actually, I finished the PhD after I was already homeschooling my kids.
Okay.
So it's not that big a leap because I think that God basically guided me to get a PhD, even though sometimes I didn't even really want to, because we need some people on our side of the education establishment
yeah.
that have some credentials and so
yeah.
forth. And even though I don't use them much, I don't run around calling myself Dr. Hood when yeah. when they're needed. I have that in place, and I can talk to people on that level. So.
Mary, what about...
Also, the things I've learned in education did help me to understand and to help, I think, other homeschoolers in quite a variety of areas. You know, there's certainly some things in a PhD that aren't that useful, but I also learned a lot of useful things, and I've
yeah.
been able to help and share over the years with other homeschoolers.
Mary, what does the educational establishment think about us?
Well, things are changing. They used to just think we were a fringe, you know, oddity that they didn't really have to deal with very much. But because it's getting so big now, every state seems to be having a slightly different issue going on. But basically, they're worried now about, and of course, they is a very broad term. You know, I don't mean to, you know, make it sound like everybody's after us, but
right.
there are certainly those people in the educational establishment that are starting to get concerned and want, for whatever reason, to take back control of things. And so we have to be very vigilant in terms of, you know, maintaining our freedoms, or they will go away.
I've noticed that myself. In fact, in our state right now, I happen to know we're up against one of the most serious problems for homeschooling freedoms that I think I've seen in some 13, 14 years. We won't get into that, but I think that there is a little bit more pushback coming from the institutional system.
I think that's very true. And the other side of that coin is that in the early days, there were basically two types of homeschoolers. That's a whole long history of homeschooling lesson we can't get into. But the bottom line is early on we had people coming in from the free school movement, and then in 1980 we had Washington for Jesus when a lot of Christians began to enter the movement, sometimes not so much for educational reasons as much as religious reasons. And so you had certain types of homeschoolers clearly defined back in the old days. Nowadays we're having a lot of what some people have called refugees, which is basically people who are basically leaving the public school because they don't want to be in the public school, not because they want to be homeschoolers. And some of those people are succumbing nowadays. You know, when I started, people wouldn't even sell us curriculum materials. You know, nowadays there are so many people selling things, you know, advocating various types of accreditation or, you know, all sorts of things that can take control away from people, especially if they never got control over what they're doing themselves in the first place. So so we're also dealing with a whole new brand of homeschoolers, which we'll probably discuss later. I know you want to talk about our mentoring program later, but But that's one reason why we have such a need for helping the newbies understand what homeschooling is really supposed to be all about. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly about taking control over our families. So.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your approach to homeschooling. I know you talk about the relaxed homeschooler.
Right.
That's a big part of what you do. What are you telling your average homeschooling crowd? You get up in front of 100 homeschooling moms. What do you tell them?
Well, relaxed homeschooling to me is a mindset. There are various philosophies of education. And, of course, I used to actually teach that on the college level. And I know it's important to kind of understand where you fit in with your education philosophy, where your husband fits in, and so forth. But even more important than that, I've learned, is to be able to adapt whatever you believe to the needs of your children. And so to me, relaxed homeschooling is not so much a philosophy as it is a mindset. And to me, the mindset is pretty simple, although fairly radical in a way. First of all, you're a family, not a school. Second of all, you're a mom, not a teacher. You don't gravitate and change into some other person, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever. The father is the father. He's the head of the household, but he's not a principal because it's not a school. And then you have individual relationships with your children, not a classroom. And if you really, really get that ingrained in you and you understand that on a deep level, it will free you up from any assumptions you're carrying around with you from your own days in public or private school and enable you to set your own goals and let those drive you instead of somebody else's idea of what you should be doing in a particular grade level.
Mary, you know,
so
one of the things
that, to me, is in a nutshell what relaxed homeschooling is all about.
Mary,
and
one
it
of
really
the things
works for almost anybody, and it's not necessarily that you use or do not use curriculum. It's not the same thing as the philosophy of unschooling, which some people are familiar with. It's just a mindset that you're doing things, you know, the way each one of your children are meant to do them.
Mary, one of the things that leaders in our movement, I think, constantly review amongst themselves and with others is if you take whatever's out there in the public schools, the institutions around us, and you repeat that in the homeschool environment, that will destroy the homeschool and the homeschooling movement. So in other words, if people don't get what we're trying to do in the home school and they try to bring whatever's out there into the home school and repeat that in the home, we're going to fail as a movement.
Yeah, that's putting new wine into old wineskins.
Yeah.
So it's not even biblical. And I recently did a webinar with Chris Davis, who's from the old Elijah Company, if anybody remembers what that was.
Sure.
And in that webinar, Chris gave a fantastic talk. It's going to be available shortly. It already is available if people know where to go to get it, but it will be available shortly on our website also. But Chris was talking about this very thing that he says that our goals as parents aren't really to educate our children in the sense of, you know, making sure they've learned everything that the public school would teach them over the course of the years. But he likened it more to Michelangelo looking at a piece of marble and chipping away to find what was inside of there. So he was really sharing about how our real role as parents is to find our children's giftings and then to relate to them as individuals. And that very much is basically the framework for my ideas about education, which is also all about figuring out, you know, who your children really are and preparing them for the lives that you know they're going to be having, as opposed to doing everything exactly the way a public school would do and worrying about scope and sequence and all that.
Mary, it seems to me it would be hard to take a homeschooling mom and say, hey, just take this college course and you can learn to homeschool, to mother, to disciple your children and all that stuff in the college classroom, in the college course. In other words, you can't, you almost have to explain it in a mentorship in order to get it across to her.
Yeah, well, that would be extremely counterproductive to
right.
try to teach a college course. Of course, it always depends on the quality of the person and their background. But it certainly, if you're taking somebody from the educational establishment, and, you know, again, I don't want to, you know, act like everybody's exactly the same. After all, some people would accuse me of being part of the educational establishment with a PhD, and I would probably be one of the first people that would be qualified to teach a college class like that. But that's really not the appropriate setting. And besides that, when is a homeschooling mother going to have time to go to attend a college class? You know,
right.
Not going to happen.
And that brings us to mentorship. I mean, you are doing what you can to mentor new homeschooling moms in homeschooling. How important is that? And why did you decide to do that?
Well, first of all, it's part of our larger ministry. I just want to mention that. We have this thing called Archers for the Lord that comes from partly from an acronym from the Association of Relaxed Christian Home Educators. Yeah. Almost works. But Archers for the Lord, also from Psalm 127, which talks about children being arrows in our quiver. And we really do have this image of homeschooling moms basically being an army out there and shooting our arrows, which is our children, out into the world and making a lot of changes, not just in our own families, but in society in the best way that we can by doing it through our own efforts and through our own children, our own families. So we have this broader ministry. It's a nonprofit ministry. We have a website, which is www.archersforthelord.org. The four is spelled out. So we've been doing that for a while. We had a resource center for 9 years in the Atlanta area and then shut that down about 5 years ago because we wanted to kind of become more of a national organization, and I was putting too much of my effort into that one small place. So at any rate, and we've done a number of programs since that time. One of our big things we're trying to do right now is to get some money to get some land in the Georgia mountains to have a retreat and conference center. But as one of our programs, we have developed this thing called the Titus Brigade, which of course is taken from chapter 2 of Titus, where it talks about the role of the older women helping the younger women. And I feel very strongly that first of all, we have a large pool of women who have been doing this for many years now. And we can't just let that pool of information go to waste, pool of knowledge, and let everybody just sort of fade off into the distance. And we have, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of young homeschoolers who are coming into the movement who don't really even have a good vision for what homeschooling is really supposed to be and what it's all about. So we just desperately need to have contact between those two groups of people. And, of course, I believe that God is the one that, you know, showed me the vision, if you will, for the Titus Brigade. But our the biggest thing is what we're trying to encourage is Titus-type relationships between people. We've done that informally for years around here, but now we're trying again to be the nucleus of a sort of national movement, if you will. And the biggest thing that I'm encouraging people to do, there are three things, really. One is to have Mother's Night Out type things, whether it's at somebody's house or a restaurant or whatever, one night a month, to have a place where homeschooling moms in the area know that they can go and be sure that at least one very experienced mother is going to be there to help them and to answer questions and what have you, and, of course, just to have a nice little social time as well. Also, I recommend that people have one information night for prospective or new homeschoolers once a year, and I recommend that be in the middle of summer before the decisions have been made and people have put their children in school already. Some places, school starts way too early, as you know, now like 1st of August, so we're talking probably sometime in either June or July. And then the third thing is, as possible, to pair people up to maybe have various experienced homeschooling mothers, especially those who are already finished and don't have young children that they need to be, you know, that won't take time away from their own families. But to have some experienced homeschooling mothers who are willing to be paired with one or more of the younger ones to just be available for phone calls or maybe to go off on a field trip with them or something like that. And if people are interested in doing that using the Titus Brigade idea, both Archers for the Lord and Titus Brigade, Archers is already trademarked, and we're trademarking the Titus Brigade thing. But in order to use it, it's a fairly simple process. We have some T-shirts available for donation on our website. If you go to the website, there's one of the buttons is Titus Brigade Mentoring, so you click on that to start and read a little bit about it and see the T-shirts we have and so forth.
Why are older women so reticent to mentor the younger women in our society today? I don't see it in churches. I don't see it among some of our older, you know, retired homeschool moms. Why are they so reticent to mentor?
I don't think it's necessarily that they're reticent. They just, well, first of all, it depends on, you know, the exact age group you're talking about. Obviously, sometimes those of us who are still in our 50s and 60s may still have a lot of things that we're busy with ourselves, and sometimes maybe the really older ones might feel, you know, they don't have anything to offer anymore, but that's certainly not true. I think it's a question of having some kind of a framework in place because, you know, sometimes people don't even know they want to do something until the opportunity is presented to do it. But I think there's a lot of women, especially those that are right about my age group in their 50s and 60s, who've recently finished homeschooling and would really like to maintain some contact with the homeschooling movement. And I don't want to limit this to people, you know, at my stage of life either. If there are people who have been homeschooling for 6 or 7 years or maybe even 3 or 4 years and have something to share, you know, I think that that those people also could help out some of the younger ones. And, you know, we've had support groups in the movement for years, so this isn't a completely new idea. I just think that it's becoming more and more important as there's so much structure coming into some of the homeschooling efforts these days with their emphasis on 2-day-a-week schools and accreditation charter schools in California, all those types of things that are taking away this that old-time homeschool thing where you really were a family together and where the home was your base but the community is where you homeschooled and where the parents really took control over what they were doing, and as the kids got older, they allowed the kids to have a lot of say-so in setting their own goals and so forth. And a lot of that, I think, is being lost. Yeah, one on my website, I have a number of things there, but one of the CDs I have there is called something like I can't remember the name of it, but you'd recognize it. It's something about regaining the spirit of the pioneers. That's what it is. And I really think that when we started out, and we had to figure out what to do on our own because nobody was, you know, there weren't curriculum fairs, there weren't support groups, there wasn't curriculum packets involved, you know, arriving in the mail and all that. And I really think in a lot of ways it was better. It produced better results, too, just because we had to figure out ways to do it. And since a lot of us figured that out and we're doing it for many years, the new people, it's so easy to just come into the movement these days and say, okay, here's my $600, what should I buy?
Right.
You know, and immediately turn control back over to somebody else. And that's really not the spirit of homeschooling as I understand it, certainly. Now, I'm a big believer in lots of options, and that is a, you know, that sort of thing is an option that's needed, like the 2-day programs and all that. But it's not real homeschooling for the most part. And that's one reason I shut down my resource center, because I felt people were trying to turn it into a 2-day school. You know, when we started, what we wanted to have was a place where somebody who really wants to homeschool, but as they get older, they can't do biology themselves. Or as they get older, well, they could do biology, but their kid wants to learn French and they don't know French, you know. A real resource center. And as thing progressed over the 9 years we had it, I felt people were trying to turn it into one of these 2-day schools where people basically, you know, go for 2 days and then spend the other 3 days doing homework from those 2 days, which, again, is not really what I consider old-time homeschooling. So I'm hoping that this mentoring program, as well as some of our other programs, will help people, you know, kind of regain that spirit of genuine homeschooling the way we enjoyed it for so many years.
What are the sorts of things you have to address in your average homeschooling mom's life? You know, you've got a new homeschool mom. She's got a lot of questions. She's running into flack with the kids. I mean, what do you mentor her in?
The number one thing I think people just have to keep reminding them is that they should try to relax and enjoy those kids. You know, and if they're all stressed out, and, you know, the Bible says our yoke is easy and our burden is light. You know, if we're feeling overburdened, you've probably tried to take on somebody else's yoke. You know, it's you're not supposed to turn into a mini public school teacher. You're supposed to be a very involved mother when you're trying to homeschool. And, you know, our society has taken the role of mother and kind of trivialized it, made it sort of, cooking and cleaning and driving them somewhere else so somebody else can do all the important and exciting things, like, for example, teaching them to read. Whereas, to me, the role of a mother, you may occasionally look a little like a teacher while you're sitting next to your kid reading to them or helping them learn some math or getting to the point where there's algebra and just trying to decide, are you going to learn algebra with them or are you going to, you know, bring in somebody else to do some other work? As they get older, you know, your role becomes a lot more of a facilitator. You don't necessarily have to know everything. You know, my son learned a lot of things in the high school years that I don't know anything about, so I had to just find somebody else. But I just think that it's just important to remember that you're a family together, relax and enjoy them, and don't take the whole thing so seriously. You know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just really that. And the other thing is you have to also kind of remember that we have an enemy out there, not other people. It's a spiritual enemy, and that that enemy would love to, you know, use his tools of discouragement and what have you, feeling incompetent. And so there's a tendency on homeschool moms' part sometimes to be perfectionists. I saw a cartoon recently where there was a homeschooling mother standing there in front of a ridiculously high high hurdle thing that she was supposed to jump over, and something about once again the homeschooling mother has set the bar too high. So I think we just need to learn to relax and chill out a little bit and set our own goals and keep working ahead without constantly comparing yourself to everybody else around you, whether it's the perfect homeschool mom on the cover of some magazine or some SAT score that may or may not be attainable by your particular child or whatever it is. You just need to chill out and relax and enjoy them a little more. By the way, that's obviously I've written some books, and one of them is called The Relaxed Home School, and one is called The Joyful Homeschooler, and then one is called The Enthusiastic Homeschooler. So those are the things I'm hoping you'll be able to be.
Yes, and those resources are available at archersforthelord.org. It's archersforthelord.org on the Internet, friends, if you'd like more resources that Mary Hood provides on her website. Mary, thank you for joining us today on Generations. We appreciate your wise words and your experience of 30-some years in the homeschooling movement.
Sure. And people can contact me using that contact page on the archersforthelord.org website. I also blog at therelaxedhomeschooler.blogspot.com. And we have a Facebook page called Relaxed Homeschoolers-Archers. So hope that people will find us if they're interested in learning more.
Very good. A lot of good resources there, friends. Again, archersforthelord.org is Mary's website. Thanks again for joining us on Generations, Mary. Appreciate your wisdom.
I appreciate it, too.
And, folks, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we once again talk about homeschooling, which we believe is one of the very best ways to reintegrate the family in the modern age and bring biblical principles in relation to the fear of God, the focus on faith and character and discipleship and the things that really constitute a biblical perspective on education, not this institutionalized, socialized form that's been crammed down our throats through the systems over the years. We're getting back to a biblical approach. Approach to education. We think homeschooling is one of the best ways to bring biblical principles to bear. And again, friends, some of those resources available at archersforthelord.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.